I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This is Scott Talks, and we're talking with Len Forney. We've got an amazingly honest, and I don't even know how to describe the interview. These interviews always kind of throw me for a loop.
Because you're impacted, hon.
I'm impacted, and, you know, I'm a father of a couple of, I'm really fond of women, and...
He really is.
Yeah, I mean, I have a whole house.
I mean, not in that way, but he's...
No, but... I have two daughters. I mean, my house is like, we have girl dogs. We've had, like everybody.
It's me and my mom and your daughters. And
yeah. I'm just a great appreciator. And I think violence, indiscriminate violence on women is just, it's unexplainable to me. I have not yet heard an explanation that I even understand. So I think the conversation can be difficult. And I think that, you know, we'll just kind of give you a little background. Lynn was attacked in 1999 as she slept in her bed. You were how old when this happened?
I was 21.
21 years old at your mom's house. I think Laura talked about something that is like at night when we go to bed and we, all of us as humans, when we lock the doors and we set the alarms and we can't imagine that anything, or we hear that sound in the middle of the night and, oh, it must have been something or another.
Right.
But you woke up to a stranger sitting beside your bed trying to calm you down. When your reaction was in fear and in defense of yourself, he began to attack you and stabbed you 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Got away. I don't think I was even familiar with the whole victim shaming thing that you went through later.
Mm-hmm.
This was in Boca Raton, Florida. This occurred, which you don't live in it anymore. And I think for me, or maybe even other people, I think living with an unresolved issue, like I think we all have a great sense of justice and within us, and we want to know why things happen. Now, I did notice this happened in 1999. Your book came out called Choosing Survival in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, there was a great deal of processing for you to get to the place where you wanted to write about this event. But I want to maybe just ask you a little bit about how it is living with unresolved trauma, a violent act, being where you are now and looking back at it as a process, like, how would you describe the journey?
Gosh, long.
Yeah.
Obviously very difficult. I think early on, I was just trying to continue on. Like, I went back to school that fall, which now that I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like, this happened in May and I went back to school in August.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
Like, just pretend like it didn't happen. Maybe
I was just so determined to live my life. And I was so mm-hmm. determined this wasn't going to, you know, derail me. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to let this man do that, you know, do that to me. Now, that being said, I had many, many difficult times, especially that first year. I would be so fearful sometimes getting home if, like, I had some roommates that I didn't know that well. And one time she left the back door open and my heart was about to just explode out of my chest. And I was just stuck to the walls, like trying to get up the, you know, to make sure no one was in the house. I mean, I was terrified.
You probably didn't want your friends and the people that were close to you at the time to know that you were so affected. You wanted it to be like, I'm okay, but yeah, you weren't.
Right. And I've always been that person, like, I'm fine, you know, uh-huh. and like, so I've always kind of done that. And, but yeah, it's like, 'cause it makes you feel weak, or I'm not being strong, or I have to, you know, pursue and carry on. And, but also I think there's this great power and strength and vulnerability and asking for help. And, you know, there was one time I was in the sound booth and I was running sound because I couldn't dance, 'cause I had this brace on my leg for a year while my nerve healed, essentially. And mm-hmm. I just broke down and sobbed. And like, all of my friends, I mean, it still makes me emotional thinking they came up and just like, and, you know, came around me and like hugged me. And it was just such a beautiful moment that just made me feel so loved. And they didn't have to say anything. It was just the fact that they were there and they were willing to just love on me and mm-hmm. nothing had to be said. That's probably one of the most beautiful memories I have. But I always knew too, like, I would have these experiences where, like, if my husband came home, I would jump. Like, and I knew it was him. You know, so there's just these little cues that I definitely was living in fear kind of all the time. And I think I got to a place where I'm like, I don't want to be 88 years old with the same issues. Right?
With a shotgun at the door every time it rang.
Like, right, okay. Right.
Who is it?
And feeling, right, exactly. And so I sought out a trauma therapist, like, knowing it was going to be a lot of work, but I also just made this very conscious decision that I'm going to say whatever I need to say. And I'm going to be, you know, brutally honest, because me saying like, I'm fine is not mm-hmm. helping. It's not doing anything.
Was that kind of like a surrender for you? Did you have to give up on that sort of fight to be normal and accept like, something unusual has happened to me that I have to cope with that other people don't have to look at?
It wasn't a surrender. I think it was just even more of a way to be strong. You know, mm-hmm. to me, it was just another addition to this strength that I feel like I do have, but also it's like a decision and a choice. So, you know, that's kind of why I called my book What I Did. It's a choice that we all make that, I mean, I made that decision very consciously to explore and to keep digging and to keep healing. And it's a forever process. I don't know that it's ever going to be done, but it's one that I was willing to take. And that to me is always a sign of strength. Hmm.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I think the way that you talked about it and so clearly and your memory of it, it seemed to reflect a great deal of work and a great deal of acceptance of who you are and what your journey was. Now, you mentioned this guy. He was never convicted of your crime, the crime that occurred to you, but it was assumed that he had, once he was picked up, all the crimes in the area stopped. There were a series of women who had been attacked. One had actually, they found dead. Do you communicate with these women? Do you have any friends from that group? Are you guys a part of?
No, I've always thought about that. Like, what would it be like to meet someone else? And I have this kind of fantasy that somehow someone would find my book and connect us. I don't know why I'm getting so emotional. Sorry. But it's like, it's okay. Because, and that's why I dedicated it to all the survivors of this person, because we do have this thing in common that no one else can understand, even though each of our individual experiences are different. It still links us in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think what you go through and sort of that thing you're trying to break through happens to a lot of people in this world. And they tend to live alone with it, and asking for help, like you said, can be so hard. If you listen to the interview, it's a lot of detail, and it is amazing that you survived, and it was a horrific event. But let me ask you, is there, of all the things that happened to you that were terrible, what is there anything that was good? Is there anything from this event that you extracted that you could be like, here's where I feel delicate. Like, how do I say, like, how do you extract something good for something unresolved, horrific, and obviously not, there was no cause that you had to incite it?
Yeah, I do remember being in the hospital shortly after this happened and people kind of worrying that I wouldn't dance again. You know, are you going to be able to dance? I'm like, of course. Like, what are you talking about? And I just, again, like sometimes that got like, you know, I was not as sure, but I always went back to like that initial feeling of like, I chose to survive this. I chose to live through this. I chose to, you know, fight, and I chose to survive, and I'm going to make something of myself, even if it's just, you know, I know like I'm not curing cancer, right? But it's still something that's meaningful, and I always hoped that I could help others through this process. So if anything, I think that's what's good, is being willing to do the work and hopefully helping other people to find the strength and bravery, because I think we all have it. And also knowing that I can stand up for myself. Again, I'm a very non-confrontational person by nature.
Me too.
But I still am so strong. And that's always stayed with me too. It's like, I even get annoyed with myself when I do sweat the small stuff. I'm like, God, I've lived through this. Like, why am I so worried about this? You know, and sometimes it's almost a reminder, like, get over it, Lynn. Like, my God, you've literally faced death and said, not today. You know, so
You are a survivor.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's remarkable, the whole story. And I had a Garfield phone.
Really?
I know.
Well, yeah, your mom loved cats.
My mom loved cats, yes. And I can almost see on the cover of the book a Garfield phone with some blood on it, you know, like, or the movie. Like, that would be a very powerful,
the movie poster.
Intriguing moment. Yes. But thank you so much for telling the story. And I know you're helping people. And, you know, it's kind of directly in brand with the only one in the room, right? Mm-hmm. When you get to tell your story, you give people the strength to not feel alone. Isolated and alone, or a victim of the world. And thank you again for coming on the show. And
thank you for having me so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you. And another fantastic episode in the can.
I love our show.
I do too. And speaking of our show, we want to thank all of our Patreons for making it possible. And we'd like to welcome the new ones as well.
Welcome. And hun, explain how it is that our Patreons support our show and how folks can join our Patreon.
Sure. So we are an independent podcast, which means that there is no corporation behind us, which also means we have the freedom to bring you the stories that you want to hear.
Yes, which also means that we depend on you to keep producing these stories.
Right. And we really appreciate you. So basically, to join, you just go to our website.
There's a link in our show notes of this episode to make it easy.
Then you follow the simple instructions. Also, there is a level for everybody. And after you join, you get access to all of our exclusive bonus content and special opportunities, like monthly storytelling, which is a video series. We also do Zoom hangs. Please come hang with us. Monthly memberships start at $5 per month, not per day, that's per month. And the Zoom hangs are my favorite part. So which of our patrons are we shouting out today?
So today we're shouting out two of our favorites.
Right on.
Kelly Nishimoto of Cute Booty Lounge.
Right, Cute Booty.
Cute Booty was a concept that was born in Kelly's garage in 2004. She was looking to make pants that embrace a woman's curves, and particularly the what, hun?
The booty.
Mm-hmm. But they were still polished enough to wear out and about. Her signature is her patented scrunch booty pockets. Cute Booty Lounge is made by women for women right here in the USA, actually right here in Los Angeles.
Right.
The company is incredible. It's female and minority owned. You just go to cutebooty.com in our show notes and order yours today. And what do people always say to me when I wear my leggings, hon?
Cute booty.
That's right.
Uh-huh. We also want to thank Kathleen Hahn.
Kathleen.
Yes, a fantastic friend of the show from the beginning. We love your support, and we are so appreciative of you.
Super grateful. Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, come join us on a Zoom hang.
Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.